Chapter 1
We haven't heard from her in months,
Pa said, unaware I was just outside my parents' bedroom door. You have told me 1,000 times how dangerous those mountain passes can be, my mother said in her exasperated voice. What if we get caught in a storm?
The almanac said we have at least another 6 weeks before the winter rolls in, so now is the perfect time to visit. Besides, my mother hasn't even met Ruby yet. Don't you think it's time?
A sigh followed. I coughed, covering my mouth a second too late, and silence settled on the bedroom. The creak of spring sounded and the soft swish of fabric against the floorboards crossed closer to the door. I darted my eyes around the darkened hallway for a place to hide, my nightmare that brought me to their room forgotten in my panic of being caught listening to their private conversation. My father opened the door before I could escape into the shadows.
Ruby, what are you doing out of bed?
I had a nightmare, I whispered, and studied the shadows in the wood grain on the floor.
You need as much rest as you can get before we head to your grandmother's house in the morning. We need you sharp on this trip, otherwise we might not be eating for the next few days, he said.
I narrowed my eyes at him and glanced at my mother on the bed. The dim lantern illuminated her face and made her deep auburn hair blend into the wood frame of their bed. I can hit a squirrel at 50 yards while sleepwalking, I said when I brought my gaze back to Pa. Sleep had nothing to do with the quality of my hunting skills. Pa put his hand on my back with a chuckle and led me back to my bedroom.
I still want you to rest. Dakota is a long ride, and if you're too tired to aim straight, we will be a very hungry family when we get to your grandmother's house.
Pa, I asked as he tucked me tightly under the covers. My teacher, Mrs. Kettle, said there are monsters in the woods surrounding Dakota. His smile faded and he blinked like he had an eyelash in his eye.
Why would your teacher tell you that?
I shrugged. We were studying the territories bordering Weber, and she explained the trails to get to the towns in each territory. She went clockwise, starting with Alberta to the northeast, and ended with Dakota to the northwest. She said the road to Dakota is swallowed by a forest full of monsters. He let out another chuckle, but this time it wasn't amused.
It's bear country, sweetie.
He leaned over and gave me a kiss on the cheek, leaving me without a real answer. Weber was bear country, too. No one said Weber was full of monsters. The teacher had said the road wound over the mountains and through a river before it disappeared into woods as dark as night. I remember the flash in her eyes, and the whisper she likely hadn't intended for anyone to hear. I didn't think she was talking about bears. My heart clanged at the thought of traveling through a monster-filled forest. I tried to push the thoughts away and rest like my father asked, but the images that kept running past my eyelids were worse than the original nightmare that had woken me. I rode in front of my mother on the edge of Bessie's saddle. While the old mare made for a smooth ride, I still ended the day stiff from the journey. My brother Roy got the better end of the deal. He got to ride with Pa on Midnight, the fastest steed in all of Weber territory. Pa never let me ride that horse. He always said I wasn't old enough or big enough to stay on his back, especially when he went into a full gallop. Figures, my brother had all the luck. At least he didn't have my skills with a bow and arrow. I could shoot rings around him and proved it with a plump rabbit for dinner on the first night and 3 squirrels the second night. The third night, we slept in sight of the Dakota border where the road faded into the trees. I was thankful we stopped outside of those woods. On the plateau where we camped, wildlife was scarce, so all we ended up with for dinner was a rattlesnake that Pa killed earlier in the day. The fire crackled and my gaze kept drifting to the forest in the distance. Neither the height of the mountains nor the icy chill of the river we had crossed brought forth the same level of trepidation as that dense wall of trees. I shivered, wrapping my arms tighter around my chest. I snuggled into the blankets and turned to face the fire, dismissing the thought of monsters. "Can I ride Midnight today?" I asked.
"I don't think so, Ruby."
My stomach clenched and so did my teeth. My father attached the travel sack to Midnight's saddle and glanced at me. He must have seen my aggravation because he offered me the same old story.
"You're not big enough to handle Midnight, sweetheart."
"Roy got to ride him when he was 8, I said.
"Roy was bigger than you are at 8. Go help your mother pack the rest of our things."
I stomped away loudly enough to make my dissatisfaction known, but not enough to get a swat on my butt for my behavior. I didn't talk, even as we approached the thick forest. The path seemed to disappear and I shivered.
"We only have 2 more days before we can bask in the warmth of your grandmother's fireplace,"
Pa said, and locked his gaze with mine before he coaxed Midnight into the lead. Roy turned and gave me a smile, like going into monster-filled woods was a cool thing. I knew with a cold certainty that I wasn't getting a lick of sleep tonight.